You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to, watching the Financial Survival Network. Well, lots going on in the world. There's a storm brewing that you're not even aware of unless you happen to look at Zero Hedge a couple times a day like I do. And that is that millions of people have just realized that the system is rigged. They've thrown up their hands and they stopped paying their mortgages. And basically, in China, you wouldn't think such a thing could happen in a purportedly extremely authoritarian, totalitarian regime, but it's going on there. Imagine how easy it'll be for it to happen here. Yes, if 20, 30 million people stop paying their mortgage, the legal system grinds to an absolute halt. Last time we had 10 million over 3 or 4 years, but what will the Chinese debtors stop paying next? That's what I'd like to know. What are they going to stop paying next? Will it be their credit card bills, their auto loans? It's going to spread. And once people see that the Chinese can get away with it, we'll see what happens after that. But our good friend, David Straszewski, is with us now. Sorry about that, David. And hey, we got inflation on the one hand, and then we got mass defaults on the other. The two kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
They certainly do. Got a lot of concern, actually, regarding mortgages right now and the state of the American consumer. I mean, lions and tigers and bears on my, we've got inflation, we've got record high oil prices, we've got supply chain issues, which are causing the inflation, kind of like how sanctions work, if we understand that concept and what America has done to other nations. We find ourselves today in, I think, what are the early innings of what is likely to be a longer ball game. And I think that we're going to see different dimensions of this. Speaking of the United States here, the consumer here in the United States is just getting squeezed right now. I know that the Fed loves to talk about year-over-year numbers, and obviously just saw the new CPI come out yesterday at 9.1%. Of course, this is higher than expected. It was higher than expected last time. The Fed has literally been broadcasting to us that they get it wrong every time, or they're just doing this in a sneaky way for us and just trying to, you know, do something all at once here. But I think we're seeing a 1% at the end of the month from the Federal Reserve, and then I think that they're going to probably do something midway because they've got the month of August off and then they come back in September. I think they're going to pull a Greenspan and they're going to do something right in the middle and say, hey, we're serious now. But obviously the important component to this is that if we raise rates so high, we kill the business activity. If we don't raise rates high enough, then, you know, we destroy our dollar and then ultimately everyone's ability to keep what they've got. And so the American consumer's in a tough place. Corporations are in a tough place. PPI numbers came out, of course, in the double digits. And I like to think about this, like if you were driving from 0 miles an hour and increasing your speed each month, let's just say it's 5% each month, at the end of 1 year, you'd be going 60 miles an hour. Okay, great, 60. But then 2 years in a row that we've been dealing with this now. So then that's an additional 60 miles an hour. So the question isn't, did it go up 60 miles an hour within the last year? The question is, what is the velocity? What is the actual cost to people today? And if we look at the difference between normal expenses for the average consumer, it's about 33% more expensive on the everyday things. And of course, gas is, you know, in that exact same ballpark, and diesel even higher. So as we find ourselves today in this very, very weird moment, I think that we all need to be paying attention, because if we're not, we're probably going to get it wrong.
Hey, well, if you look, and in fact, the description, what you said about if you just make your car go a little faster each month, well, in Florida, that's already happened. When you drive on I-95 at night, it's not unusual to see people going 120 miles an hour, completely out of control, a threat to humanity, and crazy things happen. But I'll tell you what, the risk now when you raise the dollar and the dollar goes higher and higher, right? We're seeing it happen. We're seeing the dollar is trading at a premium now to the euro, something that hasn't happened. I think in 2002 was the last time it happened. So what you're doing is everybody's borrowing in dollars and they have to pay back in dollars. So in the US, we get paid in dollars. Doesn't matter as much. We just pay higher rates. But in Europe and the rest of the world, they're going to pay back that debt in dollars, creating demand for more dollars, raising the dollar still higher. It's bad for U.S. exports. And the Federal Reserve, well, they tried the inflationary thing to keep the dollar exchange rate from going too high. That didn't work out too good. David, when is Powell going to pivot? He's going to have to pivot because this is going to crash, collapse the global financial system. So it might be the devil that you know is better than the devil that you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well said. The Fed has said that they're going to be more aggressive right now. So we know that for sure. As we look at where things need to be, it needs to go up about another 1.5% by September. Well, again, I think you're right. They are going to get more dovish. And the good thing that that we should know is that I think that they can turn pretty much on a dime. They're prepared for that because they know that they would want to accommodate. They'd be willing to print more. Of course, the cause of inflation is printing money. And so that doesn't necessarily solve everything, but they can be way more accommodative. Our challenge is that inflation is just so systemically entrenched in our society right now. It's not just at the pump prices. It's that 33% extra at the grocery store. It's the clothing prices. It's the fact that everyone is getting squeezed right now in a big way, even with housing. So when's Jerome Powell going to do it? I would love to say that could happen fourth quarter. Not sure. It's gonna depend on how the market actually reacts here on the next couple, I think.
Hey, well, we do have this thing, the substitution effect taking place, David, and that's what the economists call it. When a price of an item gets too high, you substitute for a cheaper item. So when steak gets too high, you go for chicken. And then when chicken goes too high, you go for Spam. And then when the price of Spam goes through the roof, the elites want you to be eating cricket paste. Is that going to be on the shelves of the supermarkets next, in all seriousness? But the other thing is the destruction of debt through higher interest rates. And that's what happens, equals destruction of money. And the last time we had a credit contraction in 08 and 09 practically destroyed the global financial system. If we start getting these kind of contractions now, just China, imagine what millions of debtors not paying their debts is going to do to the money supply in China. A default on a loan is destruction of money because we're in a debt-based currency, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beattie-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has a tight share structure, and with its current treasury, it can self-fund the advancement of its gold discovery into at least 2022. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Absolutely. And yes, you are correct that if we find ourselves in another housing recession, which is very probable right now, given the fact that we are, interest rates are going up. And here's one of the challenges. I was in my area in Kirkland, Washington here. Median house is about 1.25 million. And that's up significantly from when I first purchased in 2013 for about 425. But so it's about tripled since then. The point here is that if you put 20% down, $250,000 in that example, and in order to avoid PMI insurance. And now we have 3% higher interest rates on these mortgages. The thing that people need to know is that every time that interest rates increase by 1%, that's a 10% increase in our income that we need in order to be able to make that same payment. So what happens when our income hasn't gone up by 30%? I don't know about you. I haven't seen a 30% raise. I haven't been giving 30% raises to my team. However, we've been very generous. The point is, this is something that is an unsustainable thing. And as we find ourselves heading forward into this with 1% increases, 7.75 increases, I'm extremely concerned for the future, because let's just say that 30%, the market should be down right now just because of interest rate changes, right? And everyone gets pre-qualified for that loan, but then that paper expires at some point in time. So everyone's pre-qualified at 3% for a certain amount. Now it's 4% a certain amount. Then it goes to 5% at a certain amount, and then 6% at a certain amount, and so on and so forth. Supply and demand is going to be the big factor, though, that we have not been able to fix. And it's really expensive to build houses right now. So there's not a whole lot of houses being built, and a lot of uncertainty in those regards. So will we see a housing crisis? I think it's arguable to say it'll be slight, but I know better than that, that there's going to be a whole lot more. I see it mostly happening, though, in corporate type of structures. Commercial. This is horrible for pensions, though. Horrible for pensions, because they are the ones that have invested so heavily in that. But the commercial realtor I was just talking to downtown Seattle said about 30% occupancy. Now, the building might be rented still from corporations, but 30% towards the maximal occupancy of people in those buildings. Most of them have 10-year leases. What happens is we're 2 years left on that, and some of those go up. There's a lot that's changing right now with so many crosswinds coming into play. The average person does not know how to track that, play that market, avoid those pain penalties. But we do know change is coming, and it's a very real thing.
Well, so interesting thing is, everybody's debt is somebody else's asset, right? So if the debts don't get paid, then the assets, what's going to happen? The banks will go down the toilet again. They will have to be recapitalized, hopefully be done differently than last time. You know, during the pandemic also, effectively, we had millions of homeowners who got a temporary debt jubilee because you were put into forbearance. And then they just tack on the interest you missed to the end of the mortgage, call it a day, and everybody's happy. That can only go so many times around. And next time, it's just going to be, because the system will be so overwhelmed, there won't be any ability to have mass foreclosures. And basically, everyone will stop paying. And that's kind of the end of it. Because credit, the root of the word credit goes back to Latin, credito, and it means I believe. Well, when all the lenders stop believing and all the debtors don't believe either, that's a mass financial Armageddon. And maybe it won't happen in the U.S. Maybe our traditions, you know, most people are who have credit do feel an obligation to pay it back. You know that you borrowed the money to do things, but and default rates generally 6% during the financial crisis, 8 or 9%. You just don't see default rates shooting to the moon when people can actually do it. But when you're tight, and when it comes down to feeding your family or keeping the lights on or the cell phones buzzing, you're going to do what you have to do, right?
I agree. I think that administrations are much more accommodative for the average American and individuals, more so than corporations. So back to the point previously, what's going to happen with these corporations? My biggest concern, and I've not heard anyone talking about this yet, is that this time's housing bubble is a little bit different because we have the Dodd-Frank Act in place. Now, that was designed to boost banks' balance sheets. So it was what the quantitative easing stuff was about here initially. You know, trillions of dollars went into balance sheets on the bank, and that's why we didn't see inflation this first time. Well, this new printing is actually, you know, getting flushed out into the market, and you know, we've seen the challenges with the employment. Okay, so the point here is that as we look at corporations right now, that may have challenges and may be right-sizing. You know, if we were in big growth mode, all you had to do is add one additional dollar of revenue such that your cap would go up, you know, because you, it didn't matter if it cost you $3 to make that one. You were a growth company. You weren't expected to make anything. Well, I'm concerned right now that that has been a way that we've done things that is probably not going to work in this new cycle. We've got to be a lot more fundamental in our bottom-up analysis, why it's a good reason to own something. Look at the debt ratios. Look at the cost for doing business, et cetera. Now, these corporations, though, that are going to right-size and maybe lay some employees off, well, if we get an unemployment boom, that you know, work at home gets repriced. You know, they were making $150,000 before, and now the new market level is $120,000. Well, they can get hired for a lot of different places. It just might be at a different level than before. Then they might have a harder time paying mortgages or being in between. Maybe they don't get hired again. But the corporation component is the part that I want to just mention, because if we see big defaults on banks, or it goes to the bank. The thing about Dodd-Frank is that they have a certain amount of non-performing assets that they can have. Beyond that place, they have to just begin to immediately forfeit. So I believe that they may want to do debt consolidation and have more time. However, based upon the existing laws that are in place, it might actually trigger an event that could be a little bit significantly catastrophic as like a floodgate release. And so we don't want to see those type of things. We've got such a delicate economy, but we've got such significant things that are happening right now. It's the equivalent of seismic activity occurring.
Yeah. I mean, unintended consequences are ripe. We have no idea how this thing is really going to shake out, but it looks like it's spreading. If you remember, go back, David, to the housing bust of 08 and 09. It started with the subprimes, and then it just cascaded to every form of mortgage, home mortgage. And then it cascaded all over the globe. Clearly, something is up now. Just looking at what, when you see admitted 9.1% inflation, and then the price of gold goes down, there's something amiss. Something's broken in the system. There is a flight for liquidity. Mm-hmm. And all of this is happening now. So what do? You stay in cash?
Good question. I've got three tips for average folks here. And step one is that we need to make sure that we have a real plan. Okay. So mitigating risks is a part of our plan. There's a lot of things we can't control. Let's focus on the things that we can. Our budget is one of those things. You know, saying no now, and we may have to yourself, you may have opportunities to buy things at a much lower price in the future if we find ourselves with a supply glut or expiring items. I think that we'll probably see some weird abnormalities as the year continues to go along. So again, establish your home base and risks first. That way, you know, also get credit would be another step here. It's a little bit icy if you have not already done so, lock in a home equity line of credit even. Second step is that we need to be able to deploy when the opportunities show up. And so we need to have a math and science approach to this. No one knows exactly when the bottom is. I'll just be candid to tell you that, you know, I'm nibbling back in right now in some areas. I've got some ideas that I think are playing out and will play out short term here. And so I'm excited about that. But with that being said, we want to have cash to be able to deploy. Cash assets won't lose other than to inflation. But if there's things that go significantly on sale, we want to be able to capitalize on that. And then the third thing is that we need to invest in ourselves. I think that if people need to get a different career, if they want to learn how to do their trade more effectively, add another dimension to it, it makes them more valuable at their employer. It also makes their employer feel a lot better about this relationship. Because what if you have to right-size a handful of people? No one likes laying anybody off. It is the worst thing ever, especially right now. Way easier when times are good, right? Well, when times aren't as good, and you know that's the difference between feeding your family or not, a lot of employers are just gun shy on how do they go forward. So we want to talk to families about getting the plan right, getting the strategy right for the investment, and then ultimately how do you invest in yourself, invest in your future, making sure that you've got your head on straight. But we need hedging strategies today if we're going to be able to ride bulls and tame bears. You know, looking for 70 to 80% of the gain while missing 70 to 80% of the pain would ultimately be the goal. And so a lot easier to say than do.
As a wise man once said, in times like these, you need to be much more concerned about return of investment than return on investment, right?
Yes, sir. You nailed that.
All right.
We probably got a little bit more challenges ahead of us here in the days ahead, you know, finishing out this year into 2023. We've got elections, all sorts of wild stuff. So, Gary, you and your viewers know this very well. We need to be cautious. We need to be smart. And let's hopefully be looking at this thing with our eyes wide open relative to all these factors. But get your plan together, have a plan for to redeploy, invest in yourself.
Couldn't agree with you more. And hey, David, people want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web. Where is the best place to go there?
Yes, sir. MySPG.com. I've got a number of things that we're coming out with here with online education courses, Medicare, Social Security, taxes. Holy smoke, that's a new thing that's going to be happening here. That's a new inflation.
Yeah.
Count that in for 2023, by the way, with Medicare and Social Security going insolvent here sooner than expected. So we've got a lot of great classes and courses out there. And of course, YouTube as well.
All right. Excellent. Hey, if you got a question for David, you can shoot me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. And if you're at the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, just click the link through to David's site, take you right over there. And while you're there, sign up for a free newsletter. David, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by.
Pleasure's mine, Carrie. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.